Thank you for listening to the Ablaze Church Sermon Podcast. Our purpose at Ablaze is to love God, love others, follow Jesus, and tell others. If you are looking for a church home in the Tulsa area, we'd love to have you join us for worship on Saturdays at 6:30 p.m. or Sundays at 10:30 a.m. For more information, please visit our website at ablazechurch.org.
Well, we are in a series this year, a year-long emphasis on shine in 2019, and we're very fortunate because we have made it to rhyme together, so that's really good. Makes it a little more, you know, easier to memorize those few words. But anyway, we've been going through the Bible. We started in the first Sunday in January with creation. Now, when we had to walk through the Bible, we learned certain, you know, hand signs for the different parts of God's revelation in the Bible. And with creation, we made that circle. But following creation, by the way, God made such a perfect and such a beautiful world. God made beautiful people, Adam and Eve, and there you had, for the only time in history, the perfect husband. So keep that in mind. And that didn't last. Okay. So after the creation, you've got four different tragic failures of humanity. And we looked at those in the Sundays of January and then last week as well, in the first Sunday in February. So after the creation, you have the fall. Adam and Eve, the perfect people, now became sinners. And part of the tragedy, a significant part of the tragedy for us, is that actually got passed on generation to generation to generation. As a matter of fact, that's why we had this baptism this morning, because if he were a perfect and innocent child, he wouldn't need the grace of God. He'd be just fine all by himself. So the fall. Then following that, as an expression of that fallenness, we have the first two kids that are born, Cain and Abel. And Cain has this immense kind of hatred toward his brother Abel, and he kills him. So you've got, again, the fallout of the fall. The next thing is that as people spread out throughout this earth, it was getting worse and worse. That evil just seemed to compound more evil. There was great violence in the land. God looked at it and he said, you know what? The imagination of people's hearts is continually evil from the very beginning, from their very young years. So God said, I guess we'll have to cleanse this planet. And he sent that great flood. So you have creation, you got the fall, and now you've got the flood. And then following the flood, God made a covenant, and he said, never again will I destroy the earth with a flood. This is a little bit of a sunshine peeking through, and the rainbow is a sign that when God would see the rainbow, he would remember, I have made this covenant. I have established this contract with creation that I will never again destroy the earth with a flood. So you think, okay, everything's going to be great now, right? We only had the good people that were saved. When I was a kid, I used to think, you know, all the evil, all the crime. And so, why don't they just have an island and put all the bad people on the island and all the good people can, you know, they can get along. And it doesn't quite work that way because, you see, everyone inherits a sin nature, which is just as bad in us really, really nice people as it is in a serial killer. It's just they're acting on it a little bit more than we are, and maybe we've taught our sin nature some good manners, but it needs more than that. Now, we're moving on. So after the flood, there is the people decide they are going to impress God. They're going to make for themselves a name, and so what do? They build a tower. This is that ziggurat form, you know, kind of goes up higher and higher. And they refer to it as the gate of the gods, Babalil, gate of the gods. And they thought, wow, we're going to be really close to God. But for God to see it, and this is kind of interesting how it's portrayed in the Bible, he had to come down. In order to be able to see it, he had to get close in order to see it. That's really a slam at those false religions. And he said, you know what happens when evil cooperates with evil? It just compounds, and it gets great exponentially. You know, there's a curve, it's a hockey stick, and it gets worse and worse and worse as it goes along. And so God says, I'm going to build some boundaries, and these are the language boundaries. He confuses the languages. Research by linguists will tell us that if you take and analyze all the languages of the world, you will ultimately come down to one single language. And that, of course, it's the at that tower is where then it began to disperse. The nations then were dispersed out there into the world. Nations dispersed. A creation, a fall, a flood, and then the nations dispersed out there. Well, that's where we were last week, but we pick up the story in the 11th chapter of Genesis, and there is a listing of the genealogies up to a certain point of the sons of Noah. And there's Ham, Shem, Japheth, but I'm particularly interested in the lineage of Shem, because as it goes down, you know, he begat then, begat that one, begat that one. It gets down to a guy by the name of Terah, and then it says, and Terah was the father of Abram. You say, you said that wrong. It's Abraham, isn't it? I said, no. The name his dad, Terah, gave him was Abram, which means an exalted father, which was quite an embarrassment because the people asked, what's your name? Exalted father. How many kids have you got? Let me count. Zero. Okay. So it's been a God, at a significant point, changes his name to Abraham, which is a name of promise, which means father of a multitude. Ooh, God's going to have to do something big for that to happen. Father of a multitude. And for our purposes right now, we'll just continue calling him Abraham, because, but the name change doesn't happen for another six chapters. But we'll go along with Abraham. So Abraham is God at work. What is he doing? God on a rescue mission. Think of Abraham along that line. God is on a rescue mission. He is literally acting within history to save people from hell. I mean, that's literally what's going on. See, God now is about to make a covenant with this man. And that covenant is going to be the foundation of everything that God does in the future in his interactions with human beings. And it culminates in the sending of Jesus Christ into the world as the Savior of the world. See, Jesus will be a descendant of Abraham. God makes that covenant. The covenant is fulfilled in Jesus. And so there is no, it's not a wonder that a huge chunk of the book of Genesis traces the journeys of Abraham. You know, from, well, he begins in a place called Haran, and it gives us a picture of what God is taking him out of. So Abraham's journey, we'll think of it as from darkness, and the darkness is represented by Haran, or Haran. Okay, you know what I mean. Okay, so it all begins when Terah and his family are in the city of Ur, which is in current Iraq, and it was a major city. A lot of things that archaeology has found, you know, especially the classic ziggurats and other things, a tremendous civilization, and they apparently had become quite successful, but it's time to expand a bit and to leave. So they're heading now, Terah and his family, to the land of Canaan, but they stop at a place called Haran. And now Haran, it kind of represents everything that God calls Abraham away from. So what was life like? We get a clue from the 24th chapter of Joshua. That comes a bit later, centuries later, as Joshua asks the people to make a decision who they are going to follow. Were you going to follow the Lord God, the true God, Yahweh, or are you going to follow the gods that your forefathers worshipped on the other side of the river? And that, of course, included Abraham. So Abraham was an idol worshiper. And in Haran, there was a this let's say, the headquarters of the worship of the moon god. And not only that, but there were many other gods that were present there. And archaeology has unearthed for us a frantic, pleasure-soaked culture, a bustling urban environment. And there, of course, were all those pagan worshipers. That's all they did, pagan worship. And he was a comfortably wealthy man from an influential family, and there would be a great future for him. And it describes his wife, Sarah, as a very beautiful woman. So he should have been very contented. But something keeps that contentment from happening. And I think, first of all, the fact that in the book of Ecclesiastes, it says that God has put into the heart of man, has put eternity into the heart of man. Somehow an awareness that this is not all there is. I have a kind of an emptiness because I am out of sync with God. And then people will try to fill that emptiness with all kinds of things. Enough success, enough prestige, enough of the finances and so forth. And then I will be happy, then I will have that space filled, enough power, maybe even religion. And they tried to fill it with religion. But would the heart be filled? What about Abram's heart? Obviously, it was not filled. And it's empty, in spite of everything that he had going on for him, empty because there's only one thing that can fill that space that is in the heart of every human being, and that space would be only be filled by the true God. So, what would fill his need? Oh, maybe Abraham needs a new religion. Yeah, but more than that, he needs to have a relationship. A relationship, and that is precisely what God offered to Abraham. To fulfill his plan now and to have that fullness, Abraham is going to have to leave Haran. And God approaches Abraham. The first word he says to him is, go, go, leave, leave. So, wonder where that's going to be. Well, Abraham's journey, let's call it a journey to I'll show you. I'll show you. From somewhere to somewhere. So God talks to Abram. And Abram says, hey, I think this is pretty important. Hey, Sarah, would you get me a wet clay tablet and my stylus? I got to write this down. So, okay. From. And God says, okay, leave this place, leave your father's house, and leave all these devilishly devised, disgusting deities. Leave them. Okay, got it. Leave. Now, where to? Where do I go? He says, oh, a place I will show you. Oh, okay. Well, how do I get there? I'll show you. Oh, well, how will I know when I get there? I'll show you. You will know. You'll know you're there. So he packed up, took Sarah, and then he took his orphaned nephew, his name was Lot, and they set out. And where finally God says, this is the place, this is the area. Look, and I'm going to give this to you. That is the land of Canaan. But he says, as you go, I want you to take something with you. Here's a pack of promises. Now, as you look on the screen at Genesis 12, 2 and 3, if you want to, you can count how many promises there are in that. I count about 7 in there, give or take. And it says, I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you, and make your name great. Why? So that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. This, folks, is absolutely not only life-changing for him, this is life-changing for the whole population of the earth because something is happening here. God is up to something, but then isn't God always up to something? By the way, there are no children yet. He's still called Abram, exalted father, but no kids yet. But God, who is a promise giver, is a promise keeper, isn't he? It's obvious that God is up to something. Now, their lives changed drastically from being sophisticated, settled urban dwellers to becoming nomadic tent dwellers, raising sheep, What experience did they have with that? It's going to take God's blessing, and it is a total lifestyle change. So this is a journey. Abraham's journey is not just from a physical place, but this is a journey into the light, a spiritual life. It's not just geographical. This whole thing is spiritual. And now, having renounced and abandoned all those deities, the religion of the family, they are led into a growing relationship with the true God. Now, he's given his word to them. It is pregnant with promises, and they are literally coming out of spiritual darkness into spiritual light. In Colossians, this is a letter that St. Paul wrote to the people of Colossae. And he describes this, and especially how it gets its fulfillment in Jesus. He says, he has delivered to us from the domain or the kingdom of darkness and transferred us. You had a kingdom transfer to the kingdom of his beloved Son, and of course, that's Jesus. Peter also writes that he has called us out of darkness into his light. The title today is Into the Light, the Journeys of Abraham. But as we follow along and we see how this whole thing goes through the Bible, it's not just meant for Abraham, not just for a son that he's going to have one day, but this is for all of humanity. So since we're on a journey, we're going to take now a little side trip. And we're back in the 21st century. And there was a third grader who once had a homework assignment. Must have been a Christian school, Mr. Zender. And it said, explain God. Explain God. How's a third grader going to explain God? So he says, one of God's main jobs is making people. He makes them to replace the ones that die so that there will be enough people to take care of things on earth. He doesn't make grown-ups, just babies. I think that's because they're smaller and easier to make. And that way, he doesn't have to take up his time teaching them how to walk and how to talk. He can leave that to the mothers and fathers. God sees everything, and he hears everything, and is everywhere, which keeps him pretty busy. So you shouldn't go wasting his time by going over your mom and dad's head asking for something that they said you couldn't have. You should always go to church on Sunday because it makes God happy. And if there's anybody you want to make happy, it's God. Okay, if you don't believe in God, besides being an atheist, you will be very lonely because parents can't go with you everywhere, like to camp, but God can. It's good to know that he's around when you're scared in the dark or when you can't swim very good and you get thrown into the deep end by the big kids. So, but you shouldn't always just think about what God can do for you. I figure God put me here, and he can take me back to himself anytime that he pleases, and that's why I believe in God. Provided by Brian Mavis, quoting Danny Dutton, age 8, in Chula Vista, California. So how do you summarize this story? Well, this boy believed in a God who, first of all, is personal. And you can see God personal toward Abram, calls him by name, speaks to him rather personally. And he's a God who makes people, which means he made us and he made Zane, okay? He listens to them because he hears everything. He's nearby when you're frightened and lonely. And this is a true God who cares for you. He's the God of Abraham, and he's chosen to be our God as well. Now, isn't that a wonderful kind of a relationship? And God is telling Abraham, and by extension, we say, God is telling us. What is he telling us? I want a relationship with you. I want to be there for you. I want to listen to you. I want to walk beside you. I want to be there for you when life gets lonely and frightening. And not only that, God was promising to do something through Abraham that would not only bless Abraham, but would bless his children, his children's children, and then going all the way through the generation, it would culminate in Jesus, and then it would expand out to incorporate and embrace every one of us, the entire world. And so to this day, we can trace our Christian roots to Abraham. So there's Abraham. All of this is happening, but he's still got a question. And he asks God point blank, so when do I get the kids? God then makes a promise. God, you see, when he makes a promise, he keeps it. It's an oath. If God breaks a promise, God's no longer God, because that is one of his faithfulness, truthfulness. That's one, you know, that those are in the attributes of God. So God makes a covenant, which is a very special kind of a ceremony. It's a physical, visible kind of an event, you know, just like baptism is. And you say, well, what's that about? It says, well, God's doing something. God's promising something. God's acting in some special way, just like the covenant ceremony that we have just a couple of chapters later. And in that covenant, he takes these animals, lays the halves side by side, and then fire passes through. And the fire is God. And it I can't go into much more detail than that right now, unless you beg me to make you stay another 15 minutes. But, okay, I don't hear anybody saying, please stay, please stay. Okay, but it is an unbreakable promise that God makes in this visible physical realm, which confirms the fact that he has made a promise. And you see, that light, that's God, who called Abraham out of darkness, calls us out of darkness. Something is happening here with Abraham, and its effect reaches to us, because we too are called and summoned into a journey into the light. Yeah, we don't always know where it is, how we're going to get there. God says, that's okay. I will show you. We're called out of darkness so that we can shine in 2019 and thereafter. And it tells us God is a personal God, that God wants a relationship with you, a relationship actually of blessing. Why? Because did you know that you are valuable to him? You know, sometimes we try to work on our self-esteem. Oh, I got these hang-ups. I got to get my self-esteem up. But you see, our self-esteem is actually defined not by us and not our feelings about it, but by God. Okay, he said, I made you in my image. And we are not acceptable to God because of our achievements, our success, our wealth. It's simply because we are. God had made us in his own image. And so he offers to us in Jesus Christ that personal relationship in which we are. We're literally saved from our sins. And think about, you know, your self-esteem. When you know your sins have already been paid for, you're not going to be charged with. You are not obligated to go around feeling guilty when the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sins. Well, don't take my word for it. Let's take God's word. Let's go to 1 John in the first chapter, the 7th verse. It says this, if we walk in the light. Oh, light. Okay, that's kind of like our theme for the year, isn't it? As he, that is God, is in the light, what have we got? Fellowship with one another, and here's what happens. Here's the action. The blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from our sins. Now, does anything get better than that? It's impossible for anything to be better than that. You see, to be loved by God in such an incredible way, and then he says, now you can be a blessing to others. That blood is when Jesus died on the cross for us. Why did he die? Because he failed in his mission and a bunch of bad guys said, we're going to get him? The devil won? No, he won. But he took on himself, in our place, all of our sin, all of our wrong, everything that just is not right within our lives. And if there isn't anything that's not right in your life, give it to him. It does not belong to you. He paid for it. So give it to him. And if we do not give to him our sins, we're cheating. We are stealing, because he already bought the price of them. So just why not give it over to him? So this is a call towards something, into the light. And when we're called into the light, what are we called away from? We're called away from the darkness. Okay, Abraham, get out of Dodge. Leave behind Haran. Leave all the gods and the goodies that you had there. Leave your position of influence. Leave that way of life. And God says, leave that way of life. Leave all that. Now, at the Golden Gate Bridge, there's a toll booth. There's a toll booth. Okay? Every once in a while, someone is in their vehicle and they're attempting to cross the toll bridge. And they realize, I do not have any money on me. I don't even have a credit card. What am I going to do? Well, that happens every once in a while. And so the toll booth operators, they have a little system, and that is what you do is you give to them something that is of greater value than than what the price of the toll is. And so over time, they found all kinds of interesting things that have been given to them. Cans of motor oil, about a frying pan, set of silverware, new books and CDs. Wedding bands are often left at the toll booth, mostly by men. Okay. One elderly gentleman left his dentures there, and then the next day he came to claim them and pay the toll. An owner of a diamond wristwatch valued at $7,000 left it at the toll booth and then never returned to get it. All right, in order to get to the other side, they had to leave something of value behind. And this is in our journey, as we follow the journey of Abraham and the journey that he gives to us in our life, in our faith. How about us? What do you need to leave behind? Well, sometimes it's who you've been. Maybe you're not proud of what you've always been, who you've been in your life. You know what? You're invited to leave that behind. You do not have to carry that junk with you on this journey. Okay? Where you've been. Maybe you've been in places you say, no, that's not good. And maybe you still feel a compulsion to go back to those places, you know, and you fall in again and you fall in again. You know what? You are not under obligation to go back to those places. You can leave those places. How about leaving behind your worries, leaving behind your cares, and just go where he takes you to go? And he says, don't worry, I'm going with you. I'm going with you. And so that you, like Abraham, can be a blessing. Why do you think God created you to begin with? Just for you to be blessed? Well, that's half of it, probably. But for you to be a blessing, and if you haven't settled in your heart yet, in your mind, where you are called to be a blessing. And by the way, being a blessing is costly. Because you know what? What we have to surrender is some of that stuff, which is really pretty junky when you think about it, and you know what that is in your life. The Holy Spirit probably showing you, and you're trying to ignore it. Okay, but he says, you can leave that behind because I have something far better for you. Don't worry. God chose you, calls you to leave the darkness behind so you can go into the light, so you can shine, so that you can do what Christian people do, and that is they poke holes in the darkness around them. Now, God wants all people on earth to be blessed through you as you let your light shine. Okay, let's think about now making this even another notch more personal. God called Abraham. That was one guy, one at a time. God is capable of calling each one of us by name, one at a time. Wherever you are, whatever you've done, wherever you've been, whatever isn't right in your life, wherever your heart is not inflamed with the love of Jesus Christ, it says, I'm calling you. I've got something better than what you are experiencing right now. God calls us. Do you hear that call? You know, God was already loving Abraham before Abraham knew who God was. What a fabulous love that is. God knew Zane before he was born. God had a plan. God has a plan. And look out, beautiful things are in store. As we commend him to the Lord, as he becomes progressively a disciple of Jesus Christ, and wherever you are in life, do you know that God has the next step for you? He doesn't want you to be satisfied with where you are. Oh, rest secure in the knowledge of his love, rest secure in your forgiveness, but then be a little bit uneasy, because God's got the next step, the next step. Let's pray, and let's ask God to show us that next step. Lord, we're gathered here today in this place. As I look out, Lord, I see a really diverse group of people. What a beautiful thing that is. Because you're a God who loves everyone. Wherever they're from, whatever their agenda is in life, you want them to be on your agenda. Lord, we pray that you would reveal to each of us, as you were willing to do for Abraham, what a destination he was to have in his life. Lord, if it means some changes, just speak to my heart about what changes need to be made. If there is a new destination, if there is something that is to be left behind, Lord, if we are already in Christ Jesus, continue to move us on that path forward. If anyone here is not, and Lord has those questions and hasn't gotten those yet settled, Lord, speak your love to that heart, because your love offers something so much more fantastic than any agendas that we create for our own lives. Thank you, Lord, that you hear this prayer, and thank you, Lord, that you are working this within our lives. In Jesus' name, we pray this. Amen.